Praise the Lord, good evening. Let's start our worship with a prayer. As we thank and praise, we come before the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank Lord for all which we are able to achieve from morning till now. We thank you for all that you give us and what you provide for us. We magnify, Lord. We adore you. We worship you. Thank you for all the brethren, the workers, the pastors, the elders, and the leaders, and all the members of the church who have secular work and who are serving you, Lord. Thank you for the good health and strength and the stamina that you give to each and every one of us, O God, to each and every one of our brethren to go on and do the work of yours. Thank you for the protection from COVID-19. Thank you for sustaining us, providing for us. Thank you for the miracles and wonders and achieving new things for us. Thank you for the new doors, for an opportunity to preach the gospel and to evangelize. Let your name be lifted up. Let your name, Lord, be glorified. Even Lord, this time we ask you to bless all the members and congregation here in Al-Ain, Abu Dhabi, and also in Al-Khaym and Fujairah, in Oman, in Muscat and Buraim, in Kuwait, in Iraq, in India, Sri Lanka, Philippines, in various places, in Australia, America, in Malawi, Sierra Leone, Uganda, and also Nigeria, and Pakistan, and also USA. Let your name be glorified, O God. We pray for favor that you give us from all these places and governments, whatever we need from logistics, whatever we need from papers and documentation, you will provide, O God. And we pray, also, Lord, we commit ourselves to pray for this place to be prosperous, so too, we too will prosper. We pray for more evangelism. We pray for the rulers to know you and to follow you. We pray for visions and dreams. Reveal yourself to them, O God, that they will know that you are the true God and we are your servant. We pray, also, God, that every one of us, we commit himself to discipline ourselves, to reproduce the fruit and the character and the attitude and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, O God. Lord, we magnify you. We adore you. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And we pray for more evangelism, more people to receive Christ, more people to receive the Holy Spirit. I pray also that those among us who have not received the Holy Spirit baptism, let them baptize with the Holy Ghost. And to refer us once again that, O God, give us the gift of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongue, message of wisdom, message of knowledge, gift of healing, gift of faith. O Lord, give us also, Lord, whatever we need, pastoring, gift of evangelism, gift of teaching, gift of prophesying. Whatever ministry we need in the church, you will be the one to provide. Bless all the ministry, bless the worship ministry, Lord. Bless the farming ministry, bless the Bible studies. Bless also the ministry of publication, ministry of translation, youth ministry, church school, children ministry, and women ministry, Lord. O God, we pray, O Lord, you continue to fill us with the Holy Ghost to go and serve you. And bless our worship tonight. We invite you with the Holy Spirit to bless this worship, bless all the brethren, bless the songs, bless our instruments, bless our prayer, bless the giving, and bless also the, Lord, we pray you bless the message and speak to us through your word. We thank you, God, we bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand and let us worship the Lord and give him as a gift for him.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. To be where you are, in your dwelling place forever.
Yes, oh God, take us, oh Lord. We want to be with you, all of us, to serve you, to do the work of yours, to do your will, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for the salvation. We commit our lives and our ways to you, Lord, to serve you, to serve you, every one of us, each of one of us and our families will serve you, Lord, together.
Thank you.
Lord, we continue to serve you. Continue to live our life for you, O God. We give what belongs to you, Lord. We give our lives, our time, our future. We give our will and all that we have. We and our families to go on and serve you. Go before us and help us. Salvation belongs to you, Lord. Open the hearts of people to know you and to follow you, O God.
Salvation belongs to our God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us, Lord. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the new people that you bring to faith. Thank you for the openings that we believe that open for us to reach new people and to plant more Bible studies and new congregations for the church. Even this time, Lord, we pray. You anoint the message and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's collect our tithes and our offerings and our vows and first fruit and bring them into the storehouse of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your promise. Thank you for the salaries, the income, and all that we receive from you. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. We adore you, O God. We pray, O Lord, that you use this money for your glory to reach the lost. And we pray that you open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing upon your church and your people. Obey your commands and rebuke whatever devourer in our lives. And let all nations know we are blessed by you. We thank you, God, and we bless you, Lord. This is all we ask and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. We'll continue today speaking about faith and deeds from the life of Abraham. We have read in James chapter 2, verse 22, verse 24. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Today, we're going to speak about the deeds of Abraham, and when he met the king of Sodom. We have read that in book of Genesis chapter 14, verse 21 to 24, what Abraham did. Let's read it. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the person and take the goods to thy servant. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a show lackets, and that I will not take anything that is thine. Let thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Ishkur, and Mamre, let them take their portion. And we have explain that, and we read in verse 23 that, but Abraham said that, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. We spoke previously about the rest resources of money. Here Abraham refused to take it from the king of Sodom, the thing that is not allowed to be taken. And we spoke that there are right resources for money and there are wrong resources of money. Previously we spoke about the right resources of money. Today we speak, we start to speak about the wrong resources of money. And what we need to do to be like Abraham, not to get involved with getting wrong resources. So we'll be able to do the good deeds and go along the faith of Abraham. The first wrong resource of money is stealing. Neither shalt thou steal, that is in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19. Stealing is to take something without, it's not yours, without permission or approval. Stealing is something unacceptable, is condemned. But we still find many, they practice that, although the scripture condemns it. What are the bad effects of stealing? You know, the people who steal are not aware they are doing bad things to themselves. The bad effect of stealing, we can read it from scriptures in book of Proverbs chapter 6 verse 30-31. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. You understand here? If he is caught in the stealing, he will pay seven times what he has stolen. In book of Exodus chapter 22 verse 1, if a man shall steal an ox or sheep and kill it and sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. Now here you have to store five or four time that he has stolen. So it's very worse. And sure he'll be caught because that's God's word. And verse 2, Exodus 22, verse 2. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. He may lose his life. And verse 3, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution. If he had nothing, then he shall be sought for his theft. They may be even selling him if he has no money to pay. So that is the bad effect of stealing. In verse 4, if the thief be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If they caught him with what he stole, he should pay double. If it is alive, he should pay double what he has stolen. Book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. And 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own hair to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. You know, according to what we have read, the one who steals he should restore four times. So what we conclude that the scripture give penalty to be paid by the thief multiple times what he has stolen. Stealing things will be of no use to the one who steals, but will only bring burden and trouble into his life. We read that in the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9, verse 17 and 18. Stolen water are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depth of hell. Stealing also destroy the heart of those who steal. We can read that in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth over the face of the whole earth, For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, say the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof. That's very clear. God will curse the house of the one who steals. So if you need to pay attention to the bad effect of stealing and never do it. Stealing will bring curse and will rob you finally of this blessing. Now we start to speak about the different kind of stealing that we can read in the scriptures. We will read Proverbs chapter 28, verse 24. The first form is stealing from parents. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. You know, many they say that when they will take from their parents, for them it's okay because this money finally belongs to us. That's not correct. The money of your parents are money belong to God, and they are steward of that money. If you are, you know, some children, they are taking advantage of their parents and they want to take more money from them, that is stealing and is condemned by the Lord. You have no right to do that. The second kind of stealing is stealing land. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of all time have set in their inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Here, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. You know, in that time they will make a mark for the land, they will put it stone, and that is the mark. And what they will do, they will move the stone little by little toward their neighbor to expand their territory. And that's the way that they are stealing. And that's how the way that is they are expanding their land little by little. But what we read in the book of Deuteronomy, curse be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say Amen. That's Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17. And Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy father hath set. So here we should not do such things. The third is taking advantage of orphans and widows. Proverbs chapter 23, remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the feet of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. Some people, they take advantage of orphans and widows because they think they are weak. They have no one to defend them. But here, they forget that the Lord himself would defend these people and take care of them. The fourth example is stealing flocks. You know, let's read Job chapter 24. Job chapter 24, verse 2 and 3. Some remove the landmark, they violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless, they take the widow's ox for a fledge. You know, here he speaks about, you know, removing some sort of flocks. I mean, they would take sheep or oxen or flocks of cattle. In the New Testament, there's another kind of stealing ministries, stealing church members, and leading the people into wrong way. And that is the thing that God is looking, and he will He will come to judge that in the same chapter, chapter 24, verse 23 and 25, you say, though it be given him to be safety, to be in safety, whereon he rested, yet his eyes are upon their ways. God is looking and he will punish. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be not so now, who would make me a liar and make my speech nothing worse? God will prove his word. The fifth kind of stealing is taking advantage of others. We read that in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There are people, they don't work, they want to live, and taking advantage of the work and the effort of other people. The scripture warning us against such. Scripture warn you against such attitude, taking advantage of other. And in First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6, it say that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. You know, there are people who claim to serve God, but they are actually taking advantage of the church member or using them for their own purpose. They use them, they use the brother and sister, but they don't pay them their work. They receive service and they will not pay them. In the book of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13, say, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. And also we read about that in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13. Want him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chamber by wrong, that uses his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. You know, when you utilize the service of some people, the brother and sister, and you don't give them what you do for them, you defraud them of their right, and that is kind of stealing. Prophet Samuel was free from this sin. He served God without taking advantage of the people. We read in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, we read this. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or whom of whose hand have I received any bribe to bind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it, and I will restore it you. And they say, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. Also we read about Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Receive us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. So here, make it very clear, Apostle Paul, about that. They did not defraud, he did not steal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, we spoke about Titus, his co-workers, also did not take advantage. I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? So here, even Titus did not take advantage. And we also, we should not walk in the wrong way, but we should walk in the steps of Samuel, Paul, and Titus. May we satisfy this message with this amount. God's willing, we'll continue next week about the another form of stealing and wrong resources of income. Let's stand up for prayer. Lord, we thank you. Come to the Lord, repent of your sin, and repent of stealing and wrong way of life, of gaining money. Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters who hear the message, convict them, bring them near to you, and help them to do what is right and just and correct their wrongdoing. Lord, take this word of yours and spread it to reach your church and your people. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord, that your hand be thus. Keep us from harm so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.